Each year, the peer counselors of Laytonville High School attend a retreat to develop skills in listening and communication. The group leader, Cecilia, invites a few community members to make presentations. This year, one of the presenters was Holly Madrigal, former mayor and city council member of Willits. 25 years ago, she was a peer counselor at Willits High School, and she shared her experiences and advice with the students. Holly was previously on You Speaks Out when she ran for the Mendocino County Board of Supervisors in 2014, entitled Voting Why Youth Should Care.
Welcome to You Speaks Out, a show by, for, and about young people. Our hosts are young people in Mendocino County, California. We are in our 19th year of production. You can listen to dozens of our earlier shows easily at our website, www.youspeaksout.net, or get our podcast link.
Welcome, Holly. Where were you born?
Thank you. Thank you for having me. I was born in Carmel Valley, California. I was actually born at home.
Oh.
Yeah.
Where's Carmel Valley?
It's kind of near Monterey, California.
Okay.
So California girl.
Okay.
Well, I wanted to thank you guys for having me. I thought I would come and talk a little bit about leadership, because that's sort of what I'm working on these days in the world, and I would love to hear from you all as well on that topic. But for those of you who don't know me, I'm Holly. I ran for supervisor a few years ago and didn't get it. And I also served on the Willits City Council. I did that for 12 years on the Willits City Council. And, you know, I never really thought about myself as a leader so much specifically. But, you know, when I was in high school, I was kind of the artsy kid. I never ran for class president or any of that stuff. And I was actually part of Willits Peer Counseling, and that kind of opened up a whole new world for me. And I don't know if the Willits program is still going. I don't think it is, which is really a shame, because what I thought was so great about that peer counseling program was putting me in touch with other people in other groups and like other cliques, sort of, that you wouldn't get to know otherwise, and sort of connecting on a person-to-person level, which I found really helpful. And now I'm running this program called Leadership Mendocino, which is basically peer counseling for adults. I describe it as a master's class in Mendocino County, but what we do is we take people from all sections of Mendocino County and bring them together to learn about leadership and learn about our region. So we do one Friday a month doing that. And what I have learned about leadership is the fact that it's not, people aren't born leaders. It's skills that you can work on and develop. You know, these are things that you can do over time. And I kind of got involved in this because I just wanted to be part of things. I know you guys might be able to relate to that. You know, I would see things and I would want to get involved to see how I could make them better. That's sort of my personality. So I've definitely been trying to, over time, get better at that as far as working with groups and interpersonal relationships. But I certainly believe in the fact that it really just takes getting started and, you know, putting a foot forward. Like, I never did anything political before I ran city council, but I cared about Willits. And when I moved home, I was like, oh, you know, we need to have things to do. And we, you know, there was all these things I cared about, and I just got involved and decided to run. And like, we got the first skate park in Mendocino County, and Laytonville's about to have their first skate park as well. So really just sort of helping out and getting involved was a big part of that. Sorry, I wrote some notes. This is an example. I also love food and local farms, and so no publishing experience, I decided to start a local food magazine from Mendocino County called Word of Mouth, and now it's happening. Like, we just started. I shared my idea with some friends that were good at graphics and artistic design, and now we have this publication that is distributed all over Mendocino County and elsewhere. And I think really just starting was part of that. And I'm trying to continue that through. So right now, one of the things that's really impacting me is the kids getting taken away at the border. That's the issue that makes me feel the most helpless, or one of the issues that makes me feel helpless. The fact that there's these kids being traumatized and taken away from their families, and, you know, I can't even imagine what they're going through. And so I don't like feeling helpless, and I don't like feeling like I can't do anything about it. And I have this sense that, like, if I send a letter to my congressperson, I just don't feel like it's going to do much. Or I don't think we can wait till we have another president, for example. So I've been trying to think, well, what could I do? And so I came up with an idea that maybe we could get a group of people. We could find a detention facility that could physically be surrounded. So this is where I'm going to need help. And we could get a group of people to travel to one of these detention facilities and get enough people that if we hold hands, we could entirely encircle the facility and make some sort of protest statement in that way. So I'm going to try to make that happen. Will it work? I don't know. I'm going to contact some friends to see if they can help me figure out what kind of detention facility could be physically surrounded. Because I imagine if it's in a city, maybe that would be hard. But I really think that if we did something like that and put out the word, like, hey, Mendocino County, we're going to El Paso and we're doing this thing, that people might show up. You know, maybe people might be able to help us make a difference. I also wanted to talk a little bit about gratitude and loss. So some of you guys might know that I lost my husband almost 2 years ago in a motorcycle accident. It was really sudden. And I also know that a number of you guys might have experienced loss and grief and challenges in your life, because we all know that we go through a lot. But one of the things that has taught me is gratitude, being so thankful for what we have. I mean, look at where we are today. I mean, this is bananas. The fact that we can be in this beautiful house on the Mendocino coast, the ocean is right there. It's gratitude has helped me live my life, just being thankful for everything that we have. As far as, you know, we're safe, we have roofs over our head, we can drink the water and, you know, not be poisoned from it. I'm really thankful. And I think being thankful helps you not be so envious of other people's lives, you know, just be really appreciative about what you have going on. And the other thing, sorry, this is just me talking a lot. The other thing that I was thinking before I came over here was about things that I wish I knew at your age. And one of the things that I was thinking about that I wish that I knew at your age is the sheer volume of careers out there. I'm going to ask in a second. I'm really curious what things you guys are interested in doing. But until I got out into the professional world, I didn't know that you could make a living. You know, a friend of mine does photography for Nike. So he does these amazing photos that, like, freeze someone in midair and then can, like, spin around the person. Yeah, just, like, amazing photographs. I didn't know that there was such a thing as, like, sound branding, you know, people who are sound engineers and they make that the dung, you know, for Netflix or these other things. There's a whole science about audio stuff that who knew you could have, well, you probably did. Who knew you could have a career in something like that? Before I graduated, I didn't know that you can have whole careers in philanthropy, giving away money to people. There's foundations. Locally here, we have the Community Foundation that I did some work with. They basically find wonderful things going on in Mendocino County and figure out ways to get them money. Like, that could be a job. I mean, I just had no idea that those things existed. I have a friend that grew up to be a burlesque dancer. She was a dancer all the way through school, and she's just made this career of incredible costumes. You probably know what I'm talking about. And she does these She's a burlesque dancer, and that's like how she makes her living. It's incredible. She tours around the world. Science. I don't know if you guys have ever been out to the Hopland Research and Extension Center. It's just outside of Hopland. It's a UC extension. And so people do all sorts of experiments out there. And it's an old working sheep ranch. Right now they're doing a lot of studies about fire because they had a wildfire go through areas where there was grazing. So they can see now what it was like if the sheep had grazed it. How did the fire affect that versus, you know, where the sheep weren't grazing? So they're studying all about that. But there's also someone out there that has discovered that there's a lizard that if a tick bites this particular lizard, the blue-bellied lizard, it will be inoculated against Lyme disease. So then it cures that tick from spreading Lyme disease to other people.
What?
Huh. So someone studied that. Like, I don't know how they're going to catch all these lizards and figure out molecularly what does that, but that's fascinating. So, science. So one of the other things, and we can go the other direction, one of the other things that I was interested about you guys is if maybe even talent, if money was no object, what kind of things would you be interested in doing? If there was no barriers. We can try going this way.
I would probably pursue dancing, if I'm honest. I did it as a child, and I really love it still. I just don't do it as often, and if I had the option with no limits, I definitely would do dancing.
I would just try to, like... Well, I've never made a movie before, but I, like, really like movies, but I think I would just like to make movies to entertain people or, like, make people feel good or something. Or scare them really bad. Yeah, I would love to scare people. I'd love it.
Totally, you could do
both.
I would
do that for, like, no money. Yeah, that'd be great.
You could scare them really bad. And yeah, make them feel good about it.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know exactly what I'd do, but some form of helping people.
I'd probably just travel a lot. I'd just go wherever I wanted to. If, like, we didn't have money or anything and stuff was just for free, I'd just travel and, like, try to help other people. Like, in the world, like, if they're sick or anything, I try to do that. But I'd really, like, travel.
I was thinking the same thing with traveling and, like something that involves sports, but, like, also traveling.
Hmm. Did you play soccer?
Yeah, and basketball.
Mainly about all over the world.
Mainly about my favorite sports, basketball.
Oh, nice.
I'd like to become an artist, like, as a, like, like a successful artist and, like, be well known.
He's good.
I want to help animals. I want to be a veterinarian.
I would like to become a trauma nurse.
A trauma nurse?
You know how much those trauma nurses get paid? Flight nurses, too. No, flight nurses get paid bank.
True. I kind of have two routes that I've always been on most of my life. I think part of me really loves, like, music and art and just making art for people and just other things in general. I really love doing that. But also, I would really love to go to law school and be a lawyer for, like domestic violence or, like, a juvenile defense lawyer or something like that. I think it'd be hard to do both, but if either one I ended up in, I think I'd be happy.
Yeah, perfect.
Kind of two routes. I mean, I don't know. I think kind of grew a star. Like, part of me just wants to be a dancer also. Just, yeah. But I'm also really interested in working in, like, education reform. I don't know if that's through policy making or not. But, yeah.
I've always wanted to own a bar when I grow up. So, like, money's no object. I'd get the sickest bar out there.
I think similar to both of them.
A dancing bar?
Yeah, dancing. No. I love, like, art and music. I've gotten into photography recently, but just I love creating. If that was part of it, I would definitely be happy. Or working with this technology and different things like either helping people fix things or creating something cutting edge or things like that. But yeah.
Nice. And you know, one of the things that I often ask this with adults, because I ask them what their career is now and what they, you know, would do if money was no object. And sometimes they want to be doing the same thing that they're doing. But the whole idea is that we can do all these things. You know, one of the things that when I was talking about loss, one of the things that taught me is that it was sort of like this permission to change my life entirely if I felt like it. You know, we want to cram in as many experiences as we can in, you know, into this life. So, you know, you could change your life and do some other thing, or you can, have a profession and have something that feeds your soul. I was just, reading something about someone who was, I forget what she did. I think she made dresses, maybe, like she made her own dresses, and someone was encouraging her like, oh, you should have an Etsy store and you should do this and this. And she was like, actually, I just want to do this for myself. Like, I don't need to make money on it. And in fact, that sort of makes her happier. I have another friend that just opened a little bookstore because she has a job. She's a bookkeeper, but she's always wanted to have a bookstore. It's in Anderson Valley, now has a bookstore. It's in Boonville. It's in a little old train car. And she doesn't need that money to make her mortgage, but it makes her happy to have a bookstore. You know, it fills her heart with joy. Anyway, so the kind of my takeaway is to just start, to just, you know, I've been thinking about seeing if I could do a scholarship in my husband's honor. He didn't go to college because he wasn't really sure what he wanted to do, you know, right away, and he didn't want to waste his parents' money. Bless his heart. But what he did want to do was travel. So he and his friends saved money and they biked around down the side of Australia with two of his buddies. So I was thinking I should do a scholarship, not for college, but for travel. Yeah. I was thinking that like you could show me the plane ticket, you know, like that, instead of showing like that you're registered for college and that you're, that's how scholarships usually work. You could show me the plane ticket stuff or something like that of where you wanted to go. Because I do think,
like pictures or something.
Exactly. One of the things about being grateful for where we live, because I really believe that Mendocino County is this amazing place, but part of that comes from seeing the way it is elsewhere. Exactly. Like I think it's super important to see how other places are, what it's like to be in a city, you know, what it's like to be in another country. Because it makes you appreciate what we have here. Mm-hmm. So do you guys have any questions for me, or?
What would you do?
What would I do? I think I might be an architect.
Really?
Yeah. I've never been good at math. Although an architect friend recently, or an engineer friend recently told me, architects don't have to do any math. We do all the math. But yeah, I like spaces. I like, sometimes I have dreams of neat houses and things like that.
Same.
So
I love kitchens.
Yes, we'll see. We'll see if I, because here's the thing. I could still be an architect in my life. Like maybe I'll do that. Or I was thinking maybe a judge. I don't want to be an attorney. I don't want to have to do all this. I don't want to have to do all the law school ahead of time. I just think that being a judge, I think I could be, you know, decisive and deliberate.
I could never be a judge. I'm too personally affected by it.
I change my answer. If I could do anything without having, like, money, I'd be an interior designer.
I'd design or plan weddings.
Oh, plan weddings and be an interior designer.
Great.
That's it.
Talk about, like, peer counseling. How many years were you in the peer counseling program?
I think three. I believe at Willits High, they did not have peer counseling for freshmen. I think it was sophomore on. Yeah. So yeah, I did it, which I think was really good.
How did you get into peer counseling? Like, how did you?
They had an interview process, and then they selected people, which was kind of tricky because as wonderful as it was to meet all these other people from different groups, in a community as small as ours, and I'm sure you guys can relate to this, you know, it made it for people who weren't involved. It made it kind of weird for like my friends who didn't get to do peer counseling. Because I really wish that everyone could have done it.
Yeah.
You know, because it was really beneficial. And so that was kind of hard. The sort of exclusivity aspect.
How did you hear about it?
My older sisters were peer counselors. I have two older sisters, one 10 years older than I am, and one like 3 years older than I am. And they both did peer counseling.
And so did you just want to do it mainly because of your sisters? Or?
Yeah. I think so.
What was the biggest thing you learned from peer counseling?
Biggest thing I learned.
The most that impactful.
I think really that you have no idea looking on the outside what's going on in someone's life. So there was, you know, popular kids that were dealing with physical abuse at home, or some people had other traumas that you just didn't realize until you had a chance to talk sort of one-on-one as people, you know, so I do try to remember that. A friend of mine who is also in the peer counseling program, who now is the, she is now the counselor for the Mendocino School District. She talks about trying to imagine that everyone might be having the worst day ever on their birthday. It might be their birthday. Maybe they're having the most horrible day ever. So it's important to try to just be patient and know that we don't know what's going on with folks. And when that person cuts you off driving or is a super jerk, you just got to think, oh, maybe they have something else going on.
How would you say peer counseling changed your high school experience?
It gave me a bunch more friends, in a sense that, you know, I felt comfortable talking to people that I didn't before. And it taught me a certain amount of empathy to, you know, when working with people, whether it was the freshmen coming in or other people to try to help them out, you know, and to listen, you know, we did a lot of, exercises around listening, you know, actively listening and not trying to fix things for people.
Did you have a buddy in the middle school?
I don't think I was part of that one, but I think that would have been really great. And one of the things I think is really neat about communities our size is that that mentorship is so important, you know, reaching out to younger kids and being like, hey, if you ever need someone to talk to, I'm here, you know, kind of thing. Because not everyone can talk to their parents, or sometimes there's issues that come up that, you know, don't want to. So I think that mentoring is really important.
So what would you say you did in peer counseling, like as a whole?
As a whole? I don't remember. It was a long time ago. we did all sorts of things. We did a play. We got together and did a play based on real stories and, you know, did a narrative and worked it into a play where people weren't necessarily doing their own stories, but they were still sharing the stories of the group.
And did you perform in front of, like, the school?
Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah, it was intense, especially because you don't know if they're doing their own story or someone else's, you know, so... But those were intense, and that was based around a retreat. And then we had, I think probably somewhat similar to this, we went to Emmendal, which is outside of Willits, and that's where we had our, like, multiple day getting to hang out and do exercises. And that was amazing to just sort of get to meet people in that way.
What tools did it help you develop for the rest of your life?
So as I mentioned, the listening and the empathy, you know, the nonviolent communication. It's true, it's been helpful. I'm not sure. I think it's also been helpful in the leadership roles that I've done also. I think a lot of the skills that I learned then carry through to now, as far as when working in groups.
Oh, I like this question. What is different about high school today versus when you attended?
I think social media is different. That wasn't a thing. Like, talk about feeling like a dinosaur. Like, if you wanted to talk to someone on the phone, like, it was... Like, you had to call them, and there was no caller ID, so you didn't know who it was. You just had to answer, or not.
And there was a cord.
There was a cord?
Yeah, there was a cord.
I think we had cordless, phones when I was in high school, but... yeah, that... Not just social media, but social media, that culture, I think, is really different. Like, I think some of that stuff is really caustic and really messes with people's expectations of things. Like Instagram suggesting what your life is supposed to look like when that's not real. Or when I think about porn, like... Porn is everywhere now, and I think people like, that is not what sex is like. And I don't know if people, you know, I don't know if people realize that, that that's not what your expectations should be about what intimate relationships are supposed to be like. So all of that is different from when I was in school. And I don't know what you do about that. I also am not raising kids right now, but I think that would be a challenging thing to deal with.
Do you think, in the sense of, like, the students, like, high school students, do you think social media changes the way that we act around other people in the sense of, like, empathy or, like, caring about other people? Or do you think you can see a difference? Or
I think so. I think that if, mainly because, like, you can send a comment to someone or you can just totally tear someone down and you're not having to deal with them in a real way, that it's not anonymity, although sometimes it is, but it's, people can be horrible online and almost not have to deal with the impacts in an immediate way. So I think the skills that you learn in peer counseling can help with that, as far as just, even just thinking that, you know, that person out there is dealing with something really hard potentially, and you may not be aware of it. Yeah.
I think that happens more with, like, people that we don't know, though. Like, I wouldn't ever, like, comment on somebody's post that I know that I'm going to see at school tomorrow and be like, oh, like, you're ugly or something like
right.
that. Like, I would, you're going to see that person at school tomorrow, like, you're still going to have the consequences. Like, it's bad. Like, I wouldn't do it in general, but I feel like people do it to people that they don't know.
I think more.
So what I'm trying to say is, like, the way that we interact with people that we know, I feel like, is impacted by social media a lot, but not in, like, that way. Like, I feel like with the negative parts of it. Like, a lot of times, like, when I interact with my friends through social media or stuff like that, like, I'll send them, like, funny videos, and I'm like, oh, haha. Like, we get a lot of our laughs through social media. Mm-hmm. Or, like, oh, this is cool. Like, I wish it, like, you would look good in this outfit, or, like, I feel like it's more, like, a positive thing with my friends and how I'm interacting with
them. But also, like, the people that you say it to that you don't know, like, that, like, it hurts them.
Yeah.
You know,
for sure.
Like, that still hurts. Even though you don't know.
Yeah, and I think our community is also unique, as it's small, and maybe in a bigger place, if someone's being bullied, and you wouldn't see them because maybe you don't have the same classes together with us.
Yeah.
Most people in the same class will have the same classes, at least see each other on campus. The
mm-hmm.
school of about 100-something children,
mm-hmm.
you're not really going to be
you don't
passing.
Have the anonymity.
Yeah.
So do you guys think, one of the things about social media is that it can be really isolating in this weird way? You know, like, it's easier. Do you think that's the case? Do you think that even in a small community, people can feel really alone?
No, I do not. I think because we live in a small community, it makes us very much in a bubble,
mm-hmm.
and I feel like I was very much in a bubble until I started using social media more, and, like, I learned about different types of people, or, like, style and stuff. Like, I think that at least, like, for, like, a simple thing, like, I don't, like, I get a lot of, like, the way that I dress a lot of the time, and, like, I like wearing weird stuff a lot, or, like, you know, just doing cool things with the way I look because I see other people doing it on social media and stuff, or, like, I get, like, ideas and stuff from, like, other people on social media, or just, like, the way that people act, or talk.
So it's been a way to sort of reach out.
Because I live in such a small place, if I just based how I, you know, just like, if I learn from other people, I feel like a lot of, I like learning from other people, or like taking things from other people, like experiencing things with other people. And if I only did it with the people that I saw every day, it would be pretty boring. So I'm like, I think that it helps me get a better worldly view on things without having to leave all of the time.
So I just wanted to throw in, it's like a different aspect of the isolation. I think for the kids who don't have a lot of friends, who are home alone and seeing all the parties and the events and things on social media, that it it exacerbates their feeling of being isolated. So that's where I do see it coming in. And a lot of the kids that I work with, that's a big struggle for them.
That was happening and I wasn't there.
Right. If you don't have friends and you're home alone, hanging out with your family, and you don't, and that's all you know, then that's one thing. But if you're home alone and you're just watching these feeds of all these people getting together and you weren't invited or you're not allowed to go or what, then it can feel isolated.
Town, like, because it's a small town, it feels like everybody else but you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that sucked. I remember those times.
That's not being a lot of good parties?
Not being allowed to hang out with friends and seeing them all having fun, you just get really sad. But also at the same time, I feel like if you don't make friends at the school, which is kind of rare because you grew up with everybody at this school, but if you don't have any friends, social media, you can reach out, you can find people online. There's people that make best friends, really good relationships with people, even are in romantic relationships with people that you've never even seen before. So it's it's harder to be completely alone with social media nowadays because
there's a community out there.
There's so many people that are on social media, so many people that are willing to have conversations, so many people who also feel alone. There's so many people that you can connect with rather than the people that you see face to face every day.
This is totally random and having nothing to do with this topic. But how do you guys feel about privacy? You know, is that something that you care about?
There's no privacy.
Yeah.
Very little privacy.
Okay, so you feel strongly about that. So
I like it a lot.
Do you use the internet?
I use the internet. I don't really use Instagram though, or I only Snapchat to talk to my best friends or anything like that. But I don't really use it heavily that much. Yeah, I'm not trying to get too much out there. I still want to keep some of myself there too. So.
A lot of things now too. It's kind of hard to keep things more private nowadays unless you're really close with your friends and you're new. You can trust people not to put your stuff out there really a lot. Just as much as people taking videos of you that you didn't know they're taking videos of you or. They're sending them around to people, it's a lot harder to keep your private stuff private now.
Especially in such a small town.
Yeah, especially in such a small town.
That has not changed since high school. We live in really small communities, so whatever it is gonna get out there.
And it can happen accidentally, even if your intentions aren't bad. It happened to me last night. I videoed their super improv skits, which were hilarious.
So funny.
And I shared them on our group Snap, which is the way we all communicate, not thinking that they're actually with somebody else who isn't here, who was on there, and they got saved to their camera rolls. And in the end, these guys didn't care, but right away, I was oh my gosh, I just broke our number one rule. I just put all our stuff out on social media,
Yeah,
and so
really
even
fun.
When you don't, it can just happen like that, and even if you don't, need to be,
I always think about, because we're the first generation that heavily uses social media and posts most of our lives, I think about, when we're in the future, I don't know, what if I want to be president one day, and there's, really weird videos of me on, TikTok that they find, And I'm
because everybody's doing it, by then it won't be that crazy,
Yeah, I do wonder about that, because there's photographs of me doing stuff. So I suppose if I ever ran for president, whip those out, it is everywhere, and so maybe you're right, and maybe one of the things that I think is really interesting, and I don't know how we're doing on time, but the idea of people growing over time. Mm-hmm. I just heard a really pretty interesting interview about the Brett Kavanaugh thing. And the interviewer was saying that, like, there's these allegations, and basically the reporters figured out that these allegations were true, you know, largely. They were verified by other sources. But the reporters also found that, like, after 19, this guy promoted women and was, grew up and was a relatively decent human being. And so it's really interesting to think about, how do we feel about that? Like, if you were horrible in your youth, and then, like, later on, like, I don't know what, and I don't know if, you know, if he had been like, you know what, I was a jerk when I was younger and I've grown, like, would we feel differently about him being, you know, appointed to the Supreme Court?
I think, not to say anything about him, but I think the internet definitely makes it more impersonal later on. Because mm-hmm. people can see things and interpret it how they want to.
Right.
Because it's not you telling them. So it could be probably like exactly what you think you're seeing, or it could just be something that you wouldn't expect. But I think it definitely makes it more impersonal. You can't really tell a full story, but people will make a full story from what they see.
I'm excited for when I get older and, like, I tell my kids about, like, all of my friends and all the crazy things we did in my town, and I could show them. Like, I could be like, you know, like, these are my friends, this is what we all looked like. Like, I could actually show them pictures and, like, show them how we, like, talked and communicated and stuff and how it was different, or how we, like, just
so
messed
you
around.
Want to do that.
Yeah.
Oh, I want to.
Or, like, I'll show them, like, my vlogs that I made and stuff like that. Like, I'm super excited about that, because I wish I could see, like, how my parents' friends were. Like, I wish I could see how my grandma hung out with her friends, you know? Like, I wish I could see all that.
I also think, like, social media is very, I don't think we think about it, but it's really fragile. Like, in essence, like, one day Snapchat and Instagram could just completely crash and all of my memories could be gone.
Yeah.
You know, like, I've kept so much on there, and, like, I'm just relying on the fact that it'll just be there, you know? But, like, one day it could literally just be gone.
Mm-hmm. Digital and, like, obsolescence.
Yeah, like, I'm fully aware of it, and it's, like, kind of scary. Like, what if one day I wake up and, like, Snapchat's just gone, you know? And then, like, all the stuff that I've had on Snapchat's gone, you know? And it's just, like, we don't keep many hard copies of things because everything's on the internet, and we assume that everything's going to be fine. But I think, I really hope that it stays, or at least they find a way to, you know, obviously Snapchat's not going to stay alive forever, but they find a way to, you know, transition it into another way of keeping it.
Yeah.
But I think we rely a lot on things that aren't, like, paper, like, copies, like, you know, older people did, you know, like, printed out pictures or, like, disposable cameras. Like, I have, like, I started, like, getting, like, disposable cameras. I'm like, what if one day Snapchat fails? Like, I need something, you know? Like,
so if in, and this is not a prediction, if in 2020 there's some crazy, like, North American EMP that just, like, wipes out technology.
Oh, sick.
You feel like, because you still have those memories, but it's true you won't have those.
Social media wise, I think
have,
they'll
like,
be
the
fine.
Physical.
Maybe like
a lot of
different like banks and stuff that operate using internet.
Yeah,
or I feel like technology. The like things that need
the
internet
stock market.
Yeah,
it
stock
be,
market.
It would have to be
but
a
like
worldwide.
Media,
EMP,
I feel like
I
social
you
media wise.
System.
I'll be fine.
Yeah, our school, like she just said, even our school systems would start failing. Like we couldn't go to, we can't go to school if the internet's
Aries,
not working. Like all of our grades are online. All of our all of the school's attendance, the way that we grade things, like everything is online. Like everything is, intertwined. Like I don't. It's
worth thinking about that. If I think that's one of those things why the
cool
those the photo booth. Things are so popular because like you go to something and they print out something that gives you like the pictures. I've got a few of these, like just one from a wedding, but also ones from crazy like photo booths at like theme parks. But it is nice to like print out these little moments in time every once in a while.
Yeah.
And if, you know, if all your photos are online, it might be worthwhile. I know people never print.
It'd be
but
hard
just
to
do.
I've probably taken a picture every day for like 3 years. Like,
yeah. Can you plug in for free prints? 85 free prints a year. You can have them in a book. You can have free by five.
But that's what, but like what I'm saying is like it's like not even just that. Like videos. Like I have so many videos. I probably take more like funny videos or of myself and my friends than I do pictures. Like, it's Just okay, you can't print out a video.
I kind of worry about the opposite of that. Like, I probably won't want to share everything with my kids, and I don't want them to know everything. Like, I'll show them very specific few things, and I don't. I mean, I don't know. Maybe I'll change my mind, but like, I just feel like part of it's like, I want. But part of what makes us different people is just like our own experiences and like. Four. The dynamic would be different. I just call it my own memories to myself.
What you were sharing the other day about when you're having experiences and consciously choosing not to use social media.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to say anything about that?
I don't really remember what I said.
Oh, you were talking about that it's just, it's a different quality of experience when you're not trying to record it, and also it's a different quality of sharing with others later if it's not something that's
like
recorded in the moment.
Things that are really special to me, I don't like to post because it feels like, I feel like, at least for me, like it loses its value if I put it out there because it's not mine anymore. It's like everybody's, you know?
Right.
It's not like my own thing.
I like recording stuff. That just reminded me of how, when we are having fun together and we're like, okay, we want this to be like, really, we're having fun, we're enjoying each other's like company, we're going to put all of our phones away, like, that's it. I feel like a lot of times, like, adults just don't, like, see that part of us. Like, they don't see us, like, trying to put away all of our, like, socials and stuff like that so that we can, like, spend time together without the screens or anything. Like, I feel like a lot of times when I'm talking to, like, my grandparents about it, they're just, like, think that we only spend time on our screens and we only talk to people with our phones. And it's just, like, our phones are taking over our lives, which, like, we do spend a lot of times on our phones. But also, like, we've all put away our phones together to hang out and have, like, really, like, organic, like, time together, you know? And
yeah, there's
like,
no phones here right now.
I was saying, like, this whole weekend.
It's incredible.
It just reminded me, like, I feel like that's something that we don't get, like, praise for. Like, we've been handed these things, like, these are for you, these are your privilege, like, you can put your whole life into this, and then it's like, oh, you're taking over your life, but it's,
And I definitely think it's not like other people wouldn't have been using it if the technology was there before.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's an extra form of communication, and the whole thing isn't being seen. People are seeing it as the only way we communicate when it's just part of how we communicate now.
Yeah.
It's a new way, a new part of our life, rather than just our whole life.
Yeah.
It's a new pigeon bird.
Yeah, it does change things, you know, if you're at an incredible waterfall, like you're filming it, like it changes the experience from just being there.
I kind of try to do both,
I feel
like.
Me too.
I'll like, be like, okay, this is really cool. I really want to take a video of it. I'll take a video of it, and then I'll put my phone away and then just be there. Like, I try to make sure I'm doing both of them, because I want to be able to remember it. I don't know, like, I just like the idea of, like, because, like, Snapchat has, like, little, they have, like, what's it, flashbacks?
Flashbacks,
like, a year ago, today, tells you what you were doing, like,
or
what you took,
or
like, what videos you
had
and stuff. And it's really cool, because now I'm getting ones, like, 3 years ago and stuff, and you're like, whoa. But I like the idea of, you know, just, like, having it to look back on, but then also to be able to experience it as well.
Well, and the part of what scares me, though, is, like, when I'm really liking a moment and then I record it, and then I look back at it later, and I can literally watch it as many times as I want, like, over and over and over again. And it's, like, part of what... Because, like, part of what, for me, like, what makes moments special is when, like, they don't happen very often, they're just happening, like, that one time. And it's special because it's not happening all the time. If it happened all the time, it wouldn't be special anymore. And then when you rewatch it over and over again, I feel like each time it's just, like...
I don't think... In my mind, it's not the same thing as happening. It's just more of, like, reminiscing on what did happen. Like, I don't think of it as, like, I'm experiencing it again, because you're not. Like, when you videotape something... Like, if I was videotaping here, it would not be anything near what I'm actually seeing or experiencing. So I think just looking at it and be like, oh, this happened, and then you're remembering how you felt in the moment. But I don't think of it as experiencing the moment again, because you're not, in my mind.
You know how sometimes you'll be
remembering, like, you'll be trying to remember a memory with your, like, if I'm trying to remember something that my brother and I did, like, a long time ago, and I'm, like, having a hard time remembering it, it, like, makes me mad. I'm like, man, I, like, that was such a fun time in my life, like, I wish I could remember that. Now I can. Now I can look back and be like, oh, yeah, and then you just, it just clicks better, and you can just go back to it better, you know? I feel like it's
I feel like it was, like, never really that way, like, everyone had to just, like, oh, let go of it and move on, that you couldn't remember.
Yeah.
And part of me kind of
wants it to keep that way. But, like, I don't know. I think just, like, watching it, like, when I look at a picture or a video of something that, like, felt really, like, special to me in the moment, looking back on it, and when it doesn't feel that same kind of special, I feel like I remember it differently than it actually happened, and I kind of lose what I felt in the moment.
I just recently, this is one thing from high school, is that peer counseling, I had friends that I made in that program that I still have to this day. Mm-hmm. Like, we are still totally close, and the other day we went to, Francis Ford Coppola has, like, a swimming pool at his winery down in, whatever. Yeah. It was super fun. And she was like, it's my birthday. I want to go to this pool thing. And so I did have a case that allows you to film underwater. So we were trying to take a selfie of ourselves in this pool, and it was a saltwater pool. So everyone was freakishly buoyant. So it was actually really hard to get under there. And so I was taking a video of us. So it's a video of us trying to get under the water, and we are laughing so hard. And I have to say that watching this video later, that I had a fabulous time. And I think I also would have had a fabulous time, you know, if we didn't have the phones there or whatever. But the fact that I could look back, I mean, it makes me laugh just to see what huge dorks we are.
Yeah. You go, like, same with me. Like, I'll go back to 3 years ago, like, today, 3 years ago, I was just waking up with, like, these two girls right here, and we'd just be messing around, like, doing, like, random crazy stuff, and, like, laughing in the video, I'll still be laughing, like, in person, I'll be laughing still, because it's still funny, and I'm, like, I feel like I can relive that moment, rather than just remembering it, and, like...
It'll be interesting to see what it is like in the future. Mm-hmm. You know, it'll probably be 3D...
I kind of agree with Karina, like, it makes it less special, because, like, that moment only happens once, but then you can, like, look back at it, and, like, it gets less and less special.
Mm-hmm. I have to say, the other day, there was the Lumberjack Days, what are they called? Fort Bragg.
Oh, yeah.
Paul Bunyan Days.
Paul Bunyan.
And the Humboldt State University Marching Band plays in the parade, and then after that, they go... to a local bar, and they play in this bar and, like, dance on the pool tables. And someone said, this is a thing you need to see if you're in Fort Bragg. And I was like, okay, I'll go check it out. And it was fabulous. And they had no photos, no video, like, signs everywhere. Like, do not film this. And I think it maybe because it wasn't a school sponsored, you know, or maybe some of the kids weren't old enough, but it was super interesting. Like, okay, we're not like, but at the same time, I wanted to share it. Like, this is amazing. They're playing, like, you know, popular hits, like, on the trombone.
In real life.
Right, and that's part of it, too, is, like, part of it is, like, if I experience something, like, really crazy, really cool, but, like, kind of shapes who I am, I feel like if I put it out there, and, or, like, if I see someone else that someone posted that's, like, really cool and probably was, like, life-changing for them, I feel like I'm not even really able to really understand it, so I'm only giving it at face value, and then, like, it's, like, I kind of get the experience, but I don't know. It's like our experiences are what makes us different, and if we're all sharing them all the time, then it might just become different and weird.
I feel like when your friends, like, go away, right? Like, when you guys go on your own trips, and I'm like, oh, like, I wish I could have gone with you guys, and I see what you guys are doing, I'm just in, like, oh, that's so cool, because, like, Talia went to, like, the law, like, this big law thing, and it was really cool. She got to do, like, a bunch of cool things. And I was like, dude, that's so cool. Like, I wish I could be there and, like, see your enjoyment of it. Like, I wish I could have seen her in her own, like, in the ways that she talked about it. And, like, I wish I could have seen her, like, opening up in her shell, like, going way out of her shell and doing things that, like, was so cool, you know? And it's just, like, when she shows me, like, pictures and videos of, like, what she did, it's, like, I feel like I was there, and I was there with you, you know, but I feel like I can kind of experience it, like, I'm happy that she's doing these things, and I can, like, experience, I can see her joy, you know, like, I can see her joy from it, and it makes me happy.
Is that monk trial?
Oh, I went to Georgetown University over the summer for, like, it was a law and advocacy program, and we just, like, stayed there and did a bunch of law stuff. And it was cool. And we all went on different trips and stuff. And, yeah, we were coming here and we were showing each other videos. Because she went one for nursing and I went one for law. And Karina went one for, like, social justice or whatever. And we were, Thea and I were, like, showing each other, like, pictures and videos in the car of, like, us and, like, our friends or who we were. Because I was like, oh, my friend. I was talking about my friend or whatever. And, like, I was like, oh, this is what she looks like. And she was like, oh, that's not what I was imagining at all. It's just, like, a little bit, like, of a, I don't know. You get a little better idea of like someone else's experiences.
And I think that's definitely another aspect of it, because not only can you save it for yourself, but it's not like you can't still talk to the people you share it with.
Yeah.
And tell them about the experience. So I think it definitely adds, like, if you can show them the video and tell them about it.
It brings you to tell them about it.
Like, I definitely see what you're saying with it being your own experience and experiencing it for yourself rather than through a video, but also being able to tell someone about it and show them so they can visualize a little bit.
It's a whole nother topic.
When you're telling a story about like something that happened, and you can't explain it at how like funny it is, and like you know that that person would think it's really funny. You know, like if I was like, "Oh, Corona, like I saw this dog and it was eating this guy's ice cream and it was so funny, and he was like asleep and was just doing it." You know, like she'd be like, "Oh, ha!" But if I showed her the video of it, like this guy just sleeping with like his ice cream and a dog's just licking it, like it would be like. It just would be like, okay, like, now you can actually see it, you can laugh at it, and, like,
That's my point exactly, is, like, you seeing that, like, made you a slightly different person, like, a little tiny bit, just from that one experience, and I don't get that, and that's what makes us different people and grow in our own ways, is us not experiencing the same things. Like, I don't know, doing different things, I don't know.
You're not really experiencing it, though. You're just, it's like a way of storytelling, you know? Yeah. She's just, like, showing you what she did and how, like, and her interpretation of it. And you watch it, and, like, you understand how she felt, but you're not actually feeling your own emotions in that moment. Because it's a storytelling way, you know?
Mm-hmm. And interpretation is still up to the person receiving. Yeah.
So you're still believing, you're still receiving your own thoughts and forming your own personality off what you see.
It's basically picture books.
Yeah, it's just a picture. It's like a picture book, but that's you're making the words and you're telling your own story and you're showing the pictures of your own experiences. You know,
it's just like, very different from what it's ever been like before. And that's what scares me.
I like it.
Yeah,
I think it's better.
Brave New World.
You know, one thing that Bruce Potter said when he was interviewed for the show, "All Hail Bruce."
keep that in there.
Was that what he saw social media doing, is that everybody was always wanting peak experiences, you know, rather than calmness or centeredness or anything like that. It was like, it was always like, well, what's the next thing, you know, and like recording it. And when watching, you know, what's that show called, Ridiculousness or something, you know, things like that, you know, things that are, so it's like, wow, this is the world. It's like really going. I think that there's a little bit of artificiality to that, but I mean, I grew up in the time when we were finally revealed the notion to be here now, just be in the moment, not the string going back or string going forward, if that makes any sense to anybody. But, yeah.
You know, I forget what brought this up, but just recently I was thinking about when you're your guys' age. And this is something that doesn't happen as an adult, is you have time to just hang out, if that makes sense. Like, I think in part because my friends and I didn't all have licenses at the same time. So if you wanted to get somewhere, your friend had to drive you there. And so we spent a lot of time in cars just hanging out and not doing anything exciting.
That's what you all the time. Like, when you want to hang out and do something, you're like, hey, like, let's go drive around.
Exactly. So I just want to let you know what a treasure that is, to, like, hang around with more than one person and talk about the things in the world that, as grown-ups, we're often at work or we're doing these other things, but there's less of those moments to just hang out and be yourself.
Dang, I didn't realize that.
It's true.
Ugh, I don't want to grow up.
Well, that's why I was thinking, I need to plan like a road trip.
So, Holly, what advice would you give to high school students today, if you're just going to give them a couple of bits of advice?
So that's part of it, which is to appreciate the time that you have now, to appreciate these friendships that you have now. Because times will change and you'll go off to your different places in the world, and it's nice to have the strong foundation that we got growing up in a small town. You know, I really think that growing up in a small town is a gift. And the other thing is really what I was talking about earlier, which is that you can do anything you want to be doing. You know, you can, there's all sorts of pathways in the world. There's many different ways that you can move forward. And I would just suggest that there's all different ways that you can move forward and to not worry about making the wrong choice. I've talked to some people who, you know, studied all through their college years to be philosophers. And I remember hearing, seriously, I had a friend that was like, he's getting his PhD in philosophy. But when you do that, you're only, you know, you have these very limited job options. And I know that he was put a lot of stress on himself to get one of these key jobs. But one of the things I've learned is that even after putting all that work and money into something, you could still end up doing something totally different. You know, you never know what's going to happen in your life. Things could change on a dime. And so to just have confidence in yourself, to pursue lots of different things that you're interested in, that's my suggestion. And the other thing is to just start. If you want to travel, save money and buy that plane ticket, because you'll figure out a way to make it all happen after that. If you want to make a difference and change something in your town, just start. Get things together. Maybe you'll find out that it's challenging and that things don't work out the way you want, but by just, you know, beginning, you know, you can get really far. Yeah. Thank you guys for having me.
That's intimidating.
That's all for this month's edition of Youth Speaks Out. Laneyville Healthy Start Coalition's Drug-Free Communities Project is proud to support this month's Youth Speaks Out. Our Environmental Prevention Strategies in the Community, also known as EPIC, is a project funded by the Office of National Drug Control Policy. Through our organization and coalition, we are working towards reducing youth substance abuse through a variety of strategies in the Laneyville community. If you are interested in learning more about our efforts, please contact Laneyville Healthy Start at 707-984-8089 or email jayma@laneyville.org, jayma@laytonville.org.
Youth Speaks Out is produced and directed by Dan Roberts, who may be reached by mail at P.O. Box 1162, Willits, California, 95490, or through the website www.youthspeaksout.net. There you can find out more information about the project, get addresses for contacting us, get a copy of a show, and listen to many hours of previous programs and streaming audio. The views expressed on this program are not necessarily those of this radio station. They're the views of those who express them. Youth Speaks Out is free to rebroadcast upon notification. Our shows are posted monthly at our website, youthspeaksout.net. You can find our podcast link there or on iTunes. Thanks for listening.